Next up, we're going to talk about Superhuman. It's an amazing film of how our abilities can really do amazing things. Caroline Corey back with us, and we'll get right into it when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Caroline Corey back with us. She was with me about 6 months ago. Caroline is an award-winning filmmaker, meditation teacher, author on books on consciousness and energy medicine. As a child and throughout her life, she has been able to perceive subtle energy and has had numerous psi experiences and other worldly encounters. These experiences led her to become deeply connected to spirituality as well as existential topics, the study of consciousness, the mechanics of the universe. And after teaching energy medicine and consciousness work for more than a decade, she founded a media company, an entertainment company that tackles various thought-provoking topics on the human condition, including a recent film called Superhuman. Caroline, welcome back.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me.
You too. Superhuman people. We need that right about now, don't we?
I know, right?
I mean, I was just talking to an epidemiologist before you came on about COVID-19, and I got to tell you, a lot of people are really depressed about this thing. Do you feel it wherever you go?
Oh, my God. I don't have to go anywhere. I feel it. The collective is really, really messed up right now. I mean, it kind of messes with your head, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Like you're having to rethink everything about your life. You're forced into this space and, you know, like all kinds of emotions and blocks and things come up for you. So it's a really tough time.
Well, let's our minds drift away for a couple hours and forget about COVID-19 if we can and talk about some of your work. Superhuman, tell us about this film.
Yeah, Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible is a documentary about the power of the human mind over matter, our physical reality and the physical body. In fact, I think it's very timely because it reminds us that we do have these powers. But what I tried to do in the film is not talk about it in theory, you know, because we've been hearing a lot, if you have a positive way of thinking, it's good for you, it's good for your health, and so on and so forth. So what I wanted to do in the film is not just talk about it. I wanted to demonstrate the actual measurable effect of the mind, of consciousness, on water, for example, on DNA, on a physical object, how we can even be blindfolded and be able to retrain your brain to see. So, and I also brought on board, prominent, scientists, mm-hmm. experts, because I wanted to take it to the next level of demonstrating on camera how this really works and that this is a real thing.
Did you conclude that the brain has a lot to do with it, or is it outside of the brain?
It's outside the brain. It is the consciousness that directs your intent to the brain that tells it to function in a certain way, to focus in a certain way, to project its energy a certain way. So the brain on itself is really like a receiver. It needs that signal, and that signal comes from your consciousness, from your mind and your intention, definitely.
Well, that's amazing work, too. And some of the experts you brought in for Superhuman are dedicated people who really get this. When we last talked back in January, we went through a number of different things you've been working on, but since then, have you seen any changes that impacted your work?
Changes meaning
how you approach how you approach like the Superhuman documentary?
No, I think it's becoming to me it's more and more useful and practical and real. Since I've finished the film, I'm realizing how important it is for people to just remember and just watch it and be empowered to just go out and do it and not worry about it, you know? So I've been actually teaching. We've been teaching everything that's in the film. For example, we just did a class online. We taught kids how to see with the blindfolds on. And after two classes, they were able to read. They were able to do all kinds of things completely blindfolded. We also taught online, you know, remote viewing, telekinesis, spoon bending. So what I'm saying is it's now gone into the practical mode, applying everything that's in the film and realizing how important it is. And I'm hoping people will watch it and have the same reaction as what the crew did. You know, when people, the crew was watching, you know, the experiments happen.
With their mouths open, right?
Yeah. And like we'd have somebody who had never done anything like this before, and we would teach them telekinesis in 2 hours and like moving paper with their mind. So the crew would be like, wait, I want to learn this. You know, how do I do this? So, yeah, I think it's actually very practical. I'm very happy about that.
Telekinesis, one of my favorite subjects, mind over matter, the ability of the mind to literally do things, move objects, and all kinds of things. What an incredible gift. Can you train people for this? Are they born with it? Where does it come from?
I think everyone has the ability to learn these things. It's innate in us. But, of course, nobody teaches us this in school, as you know.
No.
So you have to do a little bit of training. Now, when we teach children, it's so much easier, so much faster. You tell them, put the blindfolds on. Okay, what color paper do I have in my hand? And then just tell you. It's so bizarre. You know, even as we're teaching it, we still think it's bizarre, you know, because they just do it. But then when you teach an adult, you know, the mind chatter kicks in. Well, how am I supposed to see if I'm blindfolded? And I don't know if I can do this. And, you know, all these blocks and subconscious thoughts come up to the surface, and it takes much, much, much longer. So, but even with that, people are learning. Like I said, we just taught this class online, and people from all over were able to learn these things. So, yeah, it just takes a little bit of training. And so people ask, well, do you have to believe? I think you have to at least be open, you know, because,
sure.
You know, because, I mean, if you, from the get-go, you don't see it. Like, what about the placebo effect, right? I mean, you have to have at least an open mind to the subject for it to work.
So. We've had Uri Geller on the program a number of times, and he has done some experiments, Caroline, that are just unbelievable. I'll tell you about one in just a second. But what an amazing gift he has to bend spoons and things like that with his mind. He's one of a kind, isn't he?
Absolutely. And he's definitely the real deal. And so we just did in the class, we were teaching how to, you know, do the spoon bending. And, you know, it's a little bit of a process, but even from the very first time, you have to, I think it's a myth to think that you're just going to look at, like, stare at the spoon and it's just going to bend. That's a little bit more in the movies or after many, many years of training. So you have to kind of just get used to the idea and start first by, you know, using both hands, but you will feel the metal literally, you know, kind of melt, you know. It's unbelievable. So even though you're using your hands in the beginning, you feel the metal become so soft that it melts, and then you can do it with one hand, and then gradually, you know what I mean? So you kind of work your way up to where Uri was. I mean, he was unbelievable.
He still is. As a matter of fact, when he was on with us years ago, Caroline, and he was just on with me several months ago, but years ago when he was on, one of our experiments was he wanted people who had watches that had stopped and clocks that had stopped, either the batteries or something happened, and he said, hold it up to the radio. And then he would say and have people say, run, 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 run. Then he said, email George your results. I get these emails from hundreds of people saying, my watch that hasn't run in 6 years is now ticking. My clock that has been broken. It was just amazing. But the funny part about all this was, years later, we rerun our programs on weekends and stuff, best of shows and stuff like that. And we ran an Uri Geller show with me. And all of a sudden, the following Monday, I'm getting all these emails from people telling me my watch is working, my clock's going. And this is after a couple years ago. Now, you know, I see the shows, but I don't remember everything that's been on every show, but the hundreds of shows I do every year. So I'm saying, what's this all about? Then it dawned on me, oh, my, we had Uri Geller's show on where he talked about the. So it worked again, even on tape when he wasn't live, but when he was saying it on the tape recording of the show, it still worked. Isn't that amazing?
I totally believe it. I've recorded sessions on addiction because I do, you know, the energy healing and it's a reprogramming and things like that. So these tapes are, again, are like from 10 years ago, and people buy them on the library from my website, and they have the exact same effect. I get emails now from people who say, I just did your meditation, your class on addiction, and I just stopped drinking after 20 years, or I stopped smoking. You know, it's like crazy, like what? So this stuff works because it's in the unified field, it's in the ether, there's no time space. It just is. You know, it's a probability that always exists. And so you just have to tap into it. Doesn't matter when or where. That's incredible.
Give us an example or two of some people in the documentary who practiced telekinesis and what they did.
Yeah. So we invited one of the cast members. Her name is Rachel Brooke Smith. And she had never done anything like this before. And so she came to where we were, to the set, and we taught her telekinesis. On that day, we were moving a piece of paper and foil. And so she just, like, learned it in 2 hours, and all of a sudden it started to move. Actually, it was moving faster than, you know, than anybody, you know, who was trying at the same time. It was unbelievable. And we noticed that the more it was really bizarre, because she was just saying, like, how she had to shift her energy, get herself in a higher state of awareness. And then she said, it's kind of funny because I just want to say to this piece of paper, I want to say, I love you, love, love. And the minute she says love, I swear, Joy, this paper started to rotate like crazy. It was so bizarre. And it was turning like 360 degrees.
Jeez.
It would stop and then turn, change direction and turn the other way. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Did it shock you?
Yes. It shocked me how quickly she was able to do it, and how how spot on it was. The second she said the word love, it started to move. It was totally still for, like, you know, 10 minutes or something. So that is really, really remarkable, I thought.
Is there some kind of energy force? What's actually doing the physical alteration that's happening with this?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we keep asking, okay, is it the heat? Is it the air? Is it this? Because, as you know, first we move the piece of paper, there's nothing around it, then we put a piece of glass around it, then we put two glass bowls around it, then we do it completely sealed. Then I did it, we did it with a vacuum, so, you know, like a Faraday cage, so it's impossible to have any sort of electromagnetic, any sort of electricity, nothing inside the container, and still we were able to move it, which tells us that the consciousness is not is interacting with or creating from. It's going to sound totally crazy, but that's my theory. Because there is nothing, there's no air inside the container. There's no electromagnetics or anything like that. So I feel like the consciousness is capable of creating these molecules and enhancing them to the point, for example, shifting the temperature, so that when you turn on the, when you raise the temperature, then the object is going to move. I mean, so you're still using the laws of thermodynamics, but it's your mind that is doing that. Does that make sense? You're not heating it. You're not touching it, but you're still using the air molecules that heat up to move the object with your mind.
What is consciousness, in your opinion?
Consciousness is the fundamental substance of all existence. It permeates everything. It is really the base of all that is. And so it manifests in different forms. So it manifests as intelligent life. So you and I are a form of consciousness. But even to me, animals are a form of consciousness. Plants are another form of consciousness. Even physical objects are a form of consciousness. Of course, they're not the same consciousness as you and I, but they still carry a certain... again, I have a hard time saying awareness because it's a human word, and that's not exactly it. It's very difficult to describe. But it's still a form of energy that holds information. And so your consciousness is interacting with the information of that physical object.
It's amazing how it works, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's mind-blowing. I mean, so just as you were talking about Uri Geller, like the very first time I did this with scientists, so they were in the Bay Area. I was in Los Angeles, and we were just trying it out. Like we had never done this before. And I was interacting with their machines, and every single machine got affected. There was a thermal machine. There was an electronic machine, an electronic device, an electrical device. They all started to, you know, freak out, you know, the minute we started to influence them at a distance. And just for people who are listening, the way we do this is, of course, we create a baseline for a long time before we start the experiment to make sure that it is the influence of the intent of the person. It's not just a coincidence. And we do it over and over and over. That's how we know that it is the intention that just interacted with this electronic device and got it to shift, to increase, or, you know, or turn off, or whatever it is that we're trying to do.
Is that how energy healing works as well, Caroline?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that is the reason why I got into this mind over matter subject, because I was doing energy healing for the longest time. Since I was a kid, I would look at someone and I could see the energy, the root cause of their physical problem, and I would just shift it with my mind. I would just tell them, okay, focus on your heart, and then, you know, do a circular motion or put blue color on it, whatever it is that I was doing, and it would work. So that was validation. So I would do it over and over and over, and after hundreds and hundreds of cases, I was like, okay, well, I know what I'm doing, I think. And I created a whole methodology of energy medicine. And so because it was working, people, I mean, you could see it on x-rays before and after, you know, blood tests before and after. So whatever I was doing was shifting the chemistry, shifting the cells, shifting the organs. And so, but a lot of people, because it was not visible, unless you had a test, you know, taken or something, it was hard for them to believe. Even the people who were healed themselves, they would go home and just kind of like go back to their old patterns. So I wanted to find something that was even more obvious, like measurable, that everybody could look at and see the measurement of the intent of the mind, the effect in this very obvious, measurable way. And that's the reason why I got into telekinesis.
Hold on for a second, Caroline. We'll talk more about your amazing work when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're back with Caroline Corey. We're going to take calls with Caroline next hour. Questions for her, or if you have had any kind of telepathy or telekinesis events in your life, share those stories with us. And I think Caroline Uri, instead of saying work, he said work instead of run, and it worked. He made those clocks and watches tick, tick, tick.
I love it.
Something else.
It's incredible.
Where do you think the energy comes from? Is it in the universe? What are we tapping into when we use our consciousness to do this?
I love that question. So I feel that we're all consciousness that inhabit a body. So we have an individual unit of consciousness, if you will. But we're all plugged into a larger universal consciousness, which is also connected with a larger one, and so on and so forth. And eventually there is a hub that holds all of it together. That hub is what I call source. It's, if you will, it is the center of all that is. And I think that even as we come in here in human form, we're always connected to that hub, and we draw our energy from there. So when you are doing an exercise or an experiment like this, first of all, you have to raise your physical vibrational energy so that you can tap into your higher consciousness. That's the first step. But then once you are aligned, then it's almost like that pathway, this umbilical cord, so to speak, where you're plugged in, opens up. And then you can draw even more energy into your physical form and direct it any way you want.
Is this energy God-given?
Well, again, some people call it God. I call it source. But that energy becomes personalized in a being. So, you know, I also, for example, I see divine beings that feel like a divine father or a divine son or a divine mother. You know, we hear about these terms, but actually they are actual beings, or an archangel, or those types of divine intelligent beings. They are a personalized aspect of source. And from there, you know, you have different types of intelligent life, all the way down to the material forms. They're like humans, Martians, or all kinds of extraterrestrials that are material. And so so it depends. Like if you, in religions, for example, they teach us to talk about the Father or the Son and the Holy Ghost as in the person.
Mm-hmm.
And others, for example, in the Buddhism and things like that, it's more of a cosmic mind, more of an energy. So it depends on the religion, but to me it's basically source that personalizes as necessary.
Extrasensory perception and telepathy, are we dealing with the same source?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, so everyone is tapped into the same source. We just don't know that we are. That's the first thing. And we don't know how to use it. And sometimes this channel is open. So, for example, when I was 5 years old, nobody taught me how to do this, obviously. And so it just happened that energy came through me, obviously, for me to be able to see these beings, to communicate with them spontaneously. We had the telepathic communication, and they were showing me what my brain was doing in order to communicate at the age of 5. How did I do that? No, you know. And so, and they showed me, actually, that we are part of the same spectrum. It's almost like I was on this side of the spectrum in physical form, and they were on the other side in non-physical form, and that continued on all the way to the source. So it's like that massive stream of consciousness, you know, from source all the way to the physical. And that connection is never severed. It's always open, that pathway. And so we can draw intelligence, information, healing, anything that we want into our physical form. We just don't know how to do it. So basically, this is the training to just remember how to utilize these powers into our physical body, into our physical reality. That is the training, and that is why we're here.
Did you tell your parents you had this ability?
No, because what happened was I, first of all, I don't know if I told you the story, but it was like Christmas Eve, and they were all fighting and just, you know, arguing and putting gifts everywhere, I don't know what, like silly stuff. And in fact, that's what I was doing. I was looking at them thinking, what does this have to do with Christmas? And what's wrong with these adults? And where is love? I don't feel love. That's what I was thinking in my mind. Exactly at that moment, those beings showed up. And they were not material, obviously. They were just like a light form. And we started communicating telepathically. They said, we are together, we are one, we are the same lineage, and we're always connected to you, and that's how you communicate telepathically, because you're going to do this the rest of your life. And so, and that energy felt so good. It wasn't like, you know, I was seeing a ghost or anything like that. It felt so familiar. It was so comfortable. It was, speaking of love, it was so loving, and it was like, yay, I'm finally home. So because it was such a contrast with the humans around me, it just felt good, and I just didn't talk about it. And I thought that all children had similar experiences. I didn't think I was special or anything like that. So I thought, oh, everybody can do this. So I never talked about it.
Ever. Not even to your friends?
No. Uh-uh. And because I felt like embarrassed, like, what am I going to tell them that, hey, I just saw these beings. They're going to say, well, oh, everybody can do that. So it was later that I realized, wait, I'm seeing something in someone, and I'm helping them with their health, whatever situation, but they can't see it. So how come they can't see it, but I can? So I started realizing with time as I grew up that, oh, wait a minute, not everybody's doing what I'm doing. And so this is when I started asking the question, what did my brain do to tap into that information? What did I have to do to find out something that I in the future? How does it all work? So I started asking these questions, and that's how I got into the field of consciousness mechanics. And, you know, 20 years later, I developed a whole methodology of how the brain needs to align, the consciousness needs to align, what type of meditation does what, and so on and so forth.
Did you ever think you'd be writing books and doing films about this?
No, not at all. Actually, I started out as a psychologist. You know, I went to college to study psychology because, of course, what happens is in the beginning, when you're having these experiences, you meet somebody and you see what's going to happen to them the next day, and it does.
That's right.
So I started not doubting, but questioning, like, wait, is there something wrong with me? and then I was afraid to talk about it, like to tell them, because I felt responsible. I was like, well, what if I made it up? I'm not going to tell them this is going to happen or something, and then it doesn't or this. So all this to say that I wanted to make sure that I wasn't crazy. And so I went to college to study psychology, as you know. And by the time I got to the master's degree, it was like, okay, checklist here. I'm not schizophrenic. I'm not neurotic. I'm not going down the list of anomalies,
And that happens. People think about that.
Yeah. And because I felt responsible, like I didn't want to just go out and so after that, I realized, okay, I was just functioning in a different way at a different level. That's all. And there's nothing wrong with it. Not only that, that's probably the way to function. And so I turned it around and I totally embraced it. And this is where I developed a whole methodology and taught a bunch of people who can do this now, who know how to do this energy healing technique. And then I started writing. This is when I felt like, okay, I can
good
share
for you.
This.
Good yeah. for you. Where were you born? I'm picking up a very slight accent.
Tom just asked me. I thought I mentioned this to you. Tu parles français, no?
French. No? All right. Are you fluent in French?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to ask you one question, and I want you to answer it in French. I want to hear this.
Okay.
Are you ready? Okay.
Yeah.
What is telepathy?
La télépathie, c'est la puissance de pouvoir communiquer avec l'esprit d'une personne à une autre.
I love the French voice. It's really cool. And now, what were you saying in English? What were you telling us?
I said the telepathy is the ability to communicate from mind to mind.
Now, since you've been doing this all these years, have you gotten so proficient that you're good at this all the time? Or do you have to be in a special mode to do it?
Yeah, it's so good you asked this question. Now, energy medicine, I'm telling you, I could be just waking up in the morning, no preparation or whatever. I could be doing two people at the same time. I'm telling you, I feel I'm totally and always really, really, really good at it because it's been, I mean, like I said, since I was five, I could do these things. And, of course, I became better. But, however, for example, the blindfold training or the telekinesis, spoon bending, too, I could do that super easy.
Can you bend spoons with your mind like Uri Geller?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I have to kind of melt it with both hands, and then I can let go.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
So, but sometimes I can do it. So that's what I was saying. Like some of those things, if I don't practice, it doesn't. You know, like I have to keep. Like for example, when I was making the film, when I was in post production, I couldn't practice or do anything. So I could tell, okay, I'm a little bit rough here. So it depends, you know. So telekinesis I can do because also in a weird way, I can do long distance better than in person. I don't know why, but so. It depends on the discipline.
You know, sometimes when you come home, you put your car keys on the table or someplace, and then you go to get them, they're gone. You have no idea where they are, and then you find them in a different spot. How did they get, how did somebody move them? How did they get there?
I know. Well, you know, there's many answers, possible answers to this question. You know, sometimes there's spirit around you. They're messing with you. There's that possibility.
Yeah, that's true.
Another possibility is you're dematerializing and rematerializing objects. So it depends.
Some of these spirits are mischief makers, aren't they?
Definitely. And actually, this is also what happens is when I'm teaching sometimes telekinesis or when we work with water, I see the beings there. And so, like, how do we know that it is your mind that's changing the chemistry of the water or moving the piece of paper? Or is it the being that's, you know, literally blowing on it, you know, so it moves, you know? And so, because then it's kind of like cheating, right? Because it's not really you. And so I kept looking at it and I realized that when the beings are there, they really, especially when they're, I mean, obviously the ones that are here to support you, not to mess with you, they really do not interfere. What they're doing is more amplify your energy. So if your intent is to focus very clearly and make the paper move or change the water, it's kind of like they're amplifying your signal, but they're not doing it for you. So this is what I've noticed. But again, like I said, sometimes they're here to mess with you, and that's a different story.
You have had the ability to change your body from being an acidic body to an alkaline body, haven't you, just by thinking about it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's another experiment we did with the film. In fact, I'm not the first one who has done this experiment. William Tiller did that experiment. Other people did that experiment where I think it was a group of people who focused on water to try to raise the pH of the water just with the mind, and it worked. And so, again, for people who are listening, what happens is we take the measurement over a period of time. You know, so it is 6.4, 6.4, 6.41. You know, it's like it fluctuates barely, you know, over a long period of time. That's why we know, okay, it's around 6.4. And exactly at that time, we focus on the water, and all of a sudden it starts to go up, 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 up. And the minute we stop, it just slowly starts to go down. So this is how we know that we're able to, that it's our intent that did it. And so I did this experiment several times, and in the film, we did it again, and it worked. And the reason why this is so significant is because if you can do it on water that's sitting in front of you, it means that you can do it to your body.
Right.
We all know that viruses and bacteria cannot survive in an acidic environment, so you do want to have an alkaline body. And so this is very useful, especially right now. Stress makes you acidic. So, you know, when you're stressed out, instead of thinking, I mean, meditation is great, but why not also think that you can do this? You can just focus on your digestive system, on your blood. It's a different measuring, but anyway, but still enough to make it alkaline so that it balances itself just by focusing on it. It's crazy, but it works.
It does work. It's pretty dramatic. Caroline, stay with us. We're going to come back and continue chatting about your work, your film, Superhuman. And also we'll take phone calls, questions, and stories on telekinesis and the power of consciousness and the mind. Caroline Corey's websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. One is called superhumanfilm.com. The other is her name, Caroline Corey, with a C, C-O-R-Y, .com. And we shall be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch your dial.